Well, church, this morning, we're going to begin in John chapter number 14. But before we begin in John 14, I just want to remind us once again, if you have forgotten, there are things that has been carrying us up to this point in this year. And that theme is preparing the church for the next move of God. Glory and for the benefit of his people. For his glory and for the benefit of his people. If we were to look at it scripturally, Moses had a dispensation, and that dispensation gave way to Joshua and Joshua's dispensation. But whenever there's a change in dispensation, is because God wants to do something and he wants to move his will forward. And so what we want to settle in our hearts is that this is an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for us to glorify God, and it's an opportunity for us to be and to do all that God has created us to be and to do. But the thing about it is that God has a work for us to do. But in order for us to do that work, we cannot do it without maturity. We cannot do it without change. We cannot do it without growth. And so what that says is that the Lord wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be prepared for his next move, and his next move has to do with his divine purpose. It's his divine purpose in what he wants to do. What he wants to do in the life of the church, and what he wants to do in each and every one of us, because we are, in fact, the church. And I want you to know and to realize and understand even now that the Lord is saying it is, in fact, now time. It is, in fact, now time for you. He says, I know why you're here. And it's now, in fact, time for you to do why you're here. And he wants us to know is that I want you to be prepared. I want you to be ready. I want you to be available. And I want you to be equipped. And so what that means for us, church, is that we're going to have to leave that which is familiar. We're going to have to leave that which is comfortable. And we're going to have to leave that which is, in fact, secure. Church, we're going to have to embrace change. We're going to have to embrace change, and change is inevitable, but change is, in fact, good. Change is, in fact, good. And so where there's no change, there will be no growth, there will be no progress. And so it is with you and I, is that we can't stay the same. We can't stay in the same place. We have to change, and we have to grow, and we have to mature, because God wants to use each and every one of us at a higher level of productivity. He wants to use every one of us at a higher level of productivity. He wants all of our lives to be fruitful and productive. God did not send anyone into the earth to live an unfruitful and unproductive life. And I believe that all of us, if not many of us, are here even this morning realizing and understand in our hearts. We know in our hearts that it's time for change. We know in our hearts that there's more to us than what people have seen. There's more to us, and that we know that there's much more in us. And I don't believe that there's any of us that are here this morning that came here this morning with a mindset that we didn't want something, and that we didn't want better, and that we don't want to do better. I just don't believe that. But as we're looking at this, where we're preparing ourselves for the next move of God, God's divine purpose. Church, we can't just depend upon the familiar knowledge that we have. We have to be willing to take on brand new knowledge. We can't stay with that which is in fact comfortable. Church, because comfort will continue to keep us in the wilderness. Will continue to keep us in the wilderness. And the Lord is letting us know in the next move of God is that you have to leave the wilderness. He says, I want to take you to a place. I want to take you to a place, but you're going to have to be willing to leave the wilderness. You have to be willing to leave your comfort zone to allow me to lead you and to guide you and to take you to a place that's not familiar, that's not comfortable, and you're not going to feel secure, but nevertheless, it's for your good. Because better for us is in front of us. Better for you is in front of you. But for us to get the better, it requires change. See, I can't expect to have the better if I'm not willing to change something. I can't expect the better if I'm not willing to leave where I am in order to have better. Church, what the Lord wants us to realize and understand is better is ready, better is available, but will you leave where you are? Are you willing to leave your comfort zone? Are you willing to take on some brand new knowledge? Are you willing to go to that place? Are you willing to leave that which you deem to be secure right now? And church, we have discovered that if we're going to be prepared for God's divine purpose, we have to know why we're here. And we have to know who we are. We have discovered that we have been made for God's divine purpose. That's why we're even here, because the Word of God lets us know that God has made us. And not we ourselves. We belong to Him. And He's the and we are the sheep of His pasture. He is in fact the Lord, and He has made us because He wants to use us. And He wants to be able to continue to use us. He wants to be able to use us to the extent that He can advance His will in the earth. Church, that's why we're here. We have to settle in our hearts that we're not a mistake. We have to settle in our hearts we're not an accident. We have to settle in our hearts that we're the answer to someone's prayer. That has to be settled in our hearts. We have to settle in our hearts that we are to live our lives not for ourselves, but we are to live our lives for others. We are to live our lives for others. Our purpose and our assignment can benefit us, but our purpose and our assignment is for God's glory and for the benefit of others. And church, for us to get to this point, we have to mature. We have to mature to get to this point. Because when we were children, we thought like children. We acted like children. And as children do, as children, it's about us. It's about me, and it's about mine. But the Lord says this, it's time out for that. No. No, you have to realize that that's not why I sent you. I sent you to be used to change people and to change people's lives for eternity. I sent you to change people. I want to use you to change people. and to change the course of their lives forever. Come on, church. But the thing about this is, church, oftentimes we look at our weakness, but I want you to realize and understand that, listen, God uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. God uses the people that society and the world wants to throw away. See, many of us in some form or fashion, we believe that the world has thrown us away. And they drew circles and drew us out of the circle. Come on now. It could have been our birth condition. It could have been where we were born. It could have been our family issue. It could have been our race and our ethnicity. It could have been our financial and our economic situation. It could, in fact, be our academic preparation. It could be a whole number of things. It can even be the darkness of your pigment. Yes. It's you that the Lord wants to use. Issue that the Lord wants to use. Come on, church. And so when we talk about preparing for the next move of God, those are just not mere words. God says, I want you to make yourself ready. I want you to make yourself available, and I want you to be equipped for my divine purpose. And you are here for such a time as this. Because I determine the bounds of your habitation and the times of and the dispensation of your life. It is now time, and you be the people. Amen. And so therefore, church, we understand why we're here. We understand that we are in fact a church, and so we understand who we are. And so now we're dealing with what we ought to be doing. And what we ought to be doing right now is doing the works of Christ. Doing the works of Christ. And here in John chapter number 14, we find Jesus having a discussion with the disciples. And he's having a discussion with the early church, if you will. And he picks it up here in verse number 7. And he says here, in verse number 7, he's telling them, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from this point on, you know him and you have seen him. Then Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient to us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he's doing the works that you see being done through me. And so therefore, you have seen the Father for 3 and 3.5 years. You have seen the Father work through me. And so you know the Father. You have seen the Father in action. And then he goes on to let them know is that he said, now believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Then verse number 12, he says, now verily, verily, now I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What Jesus says, that the works that you have seen me do, seeing the works that have been done through me by my Father, guess what? You shall do greater works. Come on, church. You shall do greater works than I do because I go unto my Father. Church, doing the works of Christ. We know why we're here. We know who we are. Now we have to do out of why and who. We have to do out of why and who. But then what Jesus says, he said, don't concern yourself about it that much. I'm here to provide help. And he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, he says, I'm going to do it. See, if you shall ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it. I've given you this assignment. But I'm here to help. And if you ask anything in my name that's going to help you carry out this assignment, he says, I'm going to do it. Church, when it says here, when we ask anything in his name, what he's saying is if you're doing what I'm asking you to do, if you're saying what I'm asking you to say, and if you're doing what I'm telling you to do, you can ask what you will, and it shall in fact be done unto you. Church, Jesus says, I'm here to help. I'm here to help you fulfill the very why and who that pertain to you. Then he goes on to say, he said, now if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he shall send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? Come on, church. He shall be where? He shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you as an orphan without directions and instructions. He said, I'm going to come to you a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day, you shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And at that day, he was talking about when you receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you shall know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm in you. You shall know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I do live. You shall know beyond a shadow of a doubt. There shall be no question in your mind as to who I am. There shall be no question in our mind as to who you are. And I want you to know that I'm going to be in you by my Spirit. And my Spirit is going to provide for you the help that you need. Going to provide for you the comfort and the strength that you need. Provide you directions and instructions to help you do these greater works, so that you can in fact fulfill your purpose, your very reason for which you're in the earth for such a time as this. Come on, church. You're here right now to be used to change people's lives for the rest of their lives and for eternity. I want you to know I chose you. You're chosen. You're chosen. I chose you specifically for such a time as this. I chose you specifically to work with me. I chose you specifically to live a life of significance. Come on, church. Sometimes even in the natural, we can look at ourselves and we can tell ourselves that we're nobody. No, I want you to know that you're somebody. And you're the somebody that God chose. God, listen, God wants to use those that are willing to allow him to use them. Church, there is no greater work. To get who's on the inside of us into the unbeliever, to change them and to change the course of their life. There is no greater work. None. Now, we need work, we need careers and all those types of things, because we need remuneration. You all know what that means? Money. We need those things, because we're not going to be able to advance the will of God without it. We need that. But don't get that confused with why and who you are. Don't get that confused with why and who you are, because you can carry out your purpose while you're carrying out your career. Are we here together, church? And so, church, we're going to be excited. We're going into the general church meeting. And as we're going into the general church meeting, and as the transition it takes place on next Sunday. I want you to know that it starts and begins a brand new dispensation. And with that brand new dispensation comes a divine purpose of God. It comes a divine purpose of God. And so for those that are going to the meeting, you want to listen carefully. And for those that are going to be streaming, you want to begin to listen carefully because this speaks to you. This does, in fact, speak to you and directly why you're here and who you are. And so, therefore, church, as we're looking at doing the works of Christ, we understand that Jesus says, I'm going to give you another comforter in the Holy Spirit. You're going to have power. Because Jesus knew that the early church couldn't carry out the assignment without power. So it is with you and I. We had to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we could have the necessary power to carry out the assignment. And to be able to carry out the assignment, it begins with a changed heart. It begins with a changed heart. And so we needed the power of God to change our hearts to be able to carry out the assignment. Because, church, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were born selfish and self-centered. We were born looking after our own selves. Come on, church, we were born that way. We were born looking out for ourselves first. And so we needed a changed heart. We needed a changed heart. We needed a heart that would be able to trust God. We needed a heart that we would be able to trust God. We needed a heart where we can come to the point where we would believe God with our whole heart, meaning that there would be no doubts, that there would be no doubt. We needed confidence. Whereby we can have confidence in him because he's going to take us beyond that which is familiar, comfortable, and what we perceive to be our security. And church, we had to come to the point where we have a changed heart. That we would have the boldness to carry this out. That we would have the freedom to carry it out. See, boldness is not being loud and obnoxious. To be bold means that I'm free. Meaning I'm free to say what he tells me to say. I'm free to go where he tells me to go. And I'm free to do what he tells me to do. Because he's saying, I'm going to do the work through you. Just as my father did the work through me to change people's lives, I'm going to work through you to change people's lives. But all I need you to do is to allow me to work through you. We need to work this thing together. All I need you to do is be willing to say what I tell you to say. Go where I tell you to go and to do what I tell you to do. See, all I need you to do is just be right with me. All I need you to do is to get right and stay right with me so that your character and your behavior and your conduct doesn't become a hindrance to what I want to do. See, that's all I need. See, that's all I need you to do. I just need you to be able to show up. Be right with me and let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in you. See, let my love be seen in you. Let my joy be seen in you. Let my peace be seen in you. Let my goodness and my godliness be seen in you. Let the meekness be seen in you. See, all I need you to do is to manifest my character. And the way that you're able to do that is to get right and to be right with me. And what begins to happen is that you'll begin to experience the love of God. You'll begin to experience the peace of God. That you'll begin to experience the joy of the Lord. That you would in fact find that meekness, that temperance, that self-control. That you would in fact be able to find a peace which surpasses all understanding. And that you would in fact be able to have that patience so that when you come up on somebody that I send you to, that they would in fact be able to look at you and to know that there's something different about you. And so when you begin to open up your mouth and you begin to say what I'm telling you to say, when I begin to draw people to you, you're free enough to say what I tell you to say. He says, I'll draw the people to you. I just need the fruit there. See, I just need the fruit there. See, it's like over here in our courtyard, we have our little garden. It's a start of a farm. Amen. And so every now and then I walk past and I start to see the bees in our little farm. See, they're drawn there because of what's in the farm. See, there's some tomatoes and some other things in there, and so it draws the bees. Are we together? Well, see, that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants us to exemplify his character, his love, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering, his meekness, and all those things. He said, I want to use that to draw people. See, I'm going to draw them to you like bees. But when they begin to come to you and begin to come across your path, I need you to have the boldness. And I need you to have the freedom to open your mouth and tell them that what I tell you to tell them, the good news of Jesus Christ. See, I need you to be able to be my spokesperson. See, I need you to be my eyes, my hands, and my feet. See, I need you to work through. And so don't worry about it. See, if you think that you're nobody, I want you to know that you're somebody. You work for a lot of people on a job, but the Lord says, I want you to work with me, the creator of heaven and earth, and the maker of all men. But it requires a changed heart. It requires that we have a desire to be right with God. It requires us to have a heart that will obey him. Church, I'm not talking about when we go to the Lord speaks and we kind of decide, we try to make up our mind. The Lord says, no, I need somebody that's free. I need somebody that's free. And church, the way that we get free is that the stuff in our hearts have to be dealt with. And that's why I needed a changed heart. Not only does it require a changed heart, but it requires patience. The Lord gave us power to change our heart, and he gave us power for patience. For patience. Let's go to James 1. He gave us power for patience. He gave us power for patience. Because to do the works of Christ, it requires patience. You know, Jesus is our example of patience. Jesus is our example for patience. We just read it in John 14. Jesus, I believe that when Jesus told him, you have... See, you know, if you have known me, you know my Father. You've seen me, you see my Father. And then Philip said, well, Jesus, show us your Father. And I think Jesus may have been, you know, he was probably close to that edge. He said, I've been with you for three and a half years. Now you're saying you. But Jesus had patience. He didn't lose it. Jesus didn't lose it. And there was a time in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember this? Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the way to the cross. And Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying. And he was praying so hard that, you know, the droplets of blood began to, you know, to come out because he's on his way to the cross. And he asked the disciples to pray with him. You remember that? And so Jesus took a break and went back to check on the disciples. And the boys were sleeping. And so Jesus says, what's up with you? You can't pray with me at least for just 1 hour? Jesus was patient with them. Jesus was patient with them. Church, if we're going to do the works of Christ, we're going to have to be patient. We have to have patience. And what that is this. Patience is essential to success with God. Matter of fact, patience is essential to success in anything that you want to be fruitful and productive. You can't be a successful farmer without patience. See, because a farmer puts a seed in the ground, he waters the seed that he can no longer see, and he doesn't even know if anything's happening. He can't go back and dig up the seed to see if it's still there. He has to have patience. Church, it's the same way with you and I. We have to have patience. We have to have patience. There are many, you know, because, see, what happens with us is that we can come and give our lives to the Lord, and we'll come to church a few times, and we're looking for immediate change. But I want you to know that when you got saved, there was immediate change. You became a new creature in Christ. But see, the challenge is that the new creature is not visible yet. See, the new creature is not visible yet. See, it's a process for the new creature that's on the inside to be made visible. And so what the Lord wants to work with is that visible new creature that people can see. But what happens is that he's patient. But for you and I, we have to get to the point where we're patient. And the challenge with being patient is this, is that we're living in the midst of times where it's based on instant gratification. It's based on instant gratification. It is based on immediate results. Immediate result. I came to church one day. I joined the church one day, and I'm not seeing anything. I'm still struggling. I'm still dealing with certain things. And so that God thing doesn't work. But see, it's not based on immediate gratification. See, faith is having confidence in what God said. So if God said that you became a new creature in Christ when you invited him into your heart, then that's who you are. Then when God says that, you have to begin to go through the process and begin to work it out. Get in the process and begin to work it out. And so as you get in the process of working it out, the new creature begin to become seen. Are we together, church? See, it's just like the cornstalk. The cornstalk has to stay in place to produce the corn. See, it's the same way with you and I, church. We have to stay in place to produce any type of fruit. See, we can't keep bouncing around. We can't, listen, we can't, you know, we just can't go hither and yon and bounce around and in and out and expect there to be fruit and expect us to be successful. Church, we can't be successful in school if we only go to class once a month. I tried that. I had a class in college I went to three times out of a semester, and I showed up for the final. Well, you all know the story. The professor was shocked to see me. He forgot I was even in the class. But here's the thing, church. Immediate gratification stunts our growth and our maturity. And Jesus came so that we might have patience, so that we'll be able to please the Father and do the works of Christ. And if we're going to do the works of Christ, we need patience. Because with the works of Christ comes tests, trials, and temptations. It comes tests, trials, and temptations. Church, we're going to need patience. We're going to need patience to be able to do the works of Christ. We're going to need patience to be able to make the necessary sacrifices. We need patience to make the necessary commitment. Commitment involves patience. You know, marriage is based on commitment. And it's a lifetime commitment to God to stay with an imperfect person. So you can't have commitment without patience. See, if I'm not patient, I'm not committed. If I'm not patient, I'm not committed. Well, Pastor, it's been so much time now, I ought to be seeing some change in them somehow. Be patient. You know, they could be saying the same thing about you. Be patient. Listen, when you get married, your marriage is not at the apex on a wedding day. I know the world wants you to believe that. And they sell you a bunch of stuff believing that. That's why you spend millions of dollars on that one 30 minutes. And everybody eat up your food and all that food goes out in the drawer. That's not the apex. But see, they sold you on a fairy tale that that's the apex, and so you're going to go on from there. No, you don't go on from there. You go down. Yeah, see, there you go. They laughing. And then you had to build it back up. See, you got to be patient. See, sister starts patient with me. Yeah, bless the Lord. See, she had to be patient with me. She can't lose her patience. She has to be patient the rest of her life. She has to be patient. But patience is hard. And one of the reasons that patience is hard is because we only see things through our point of view. We want what we want. And that's why we don't want to sacrifice. We want commitment without sacrifice. You in for a rude awakening. We want success without sacrifice. That's impossible. You can't be successful without making a sacrifice. You got to give up something and some things. But patience is essential to being prepared for what God has prepared for us. Are we together, church? James chapter number 1, verse number 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You see that? He said, now count it all joy. Well, how can I count it all joy? See, when you're being tempted to do what you know not do, you ought not do, he says, count it all joy. He says, get excited. When's the last time you've been tempted to do something you didn't want to do, or maybe even you want to do it, that you counted it all joy? When's the last time when you went through some tests and some trials and you got excited? The roof started leaking. 4 flat tires. And you counted it all joy. Children misbehaving. The school called you. Your child is doing this, that, and the other. And did you count it all joy? The reason we didn't count it all joy is because we were looking at things from our own perspective. We were looking at what we want and how we wanted it. And so when all that stuff began to come, we were looking at how it was impacting and affecting us. And we're living in the midst of times now where everything has to be immediate, and I have to have what I want the way I want it and how I want it. And the sad part about it is that we're training a generation to think that way. They have no patience. And where there's no patience, there's no commitment. That's why I can jump from job to 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 job. They didn't give me what I want here. I didn't like the food here. I'll go someplace else. Not realizing doing that is affecting their character. Realizing in doing that, they have a misunderstanding and a misperception of life. Life is not set up to give us what we want. Life is not fair. No one said it was going to be fair. Listen, Jesus is not fair. See, because if Jesus was fair, thanks be to God, he's not fair. Thanks be to God, he didn't give us what we truly deserve. Thanks be to God, he gives us another opportunity and another chance. He's not fair. Because if he did what was fair, come on, church. He ain't fair. But nevertheless, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working what? Patience. And then he says, now choose to let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, meaning mature and entire and wanting nothing. He's talking about being mature and being fulfilled. Being matured and being fulfilled. And it has nothing to do with the testing and the trials. It has nothing to do with the temptation. It has nothing to do with another person. It has nothing to do with your situation and your circumstance. It has everything to do with whether or not you have patience. Our fulfillment in life is not based on another person. It's not based on what we have and what we don't have. It's not based on the test, the trials, and the temptation. It's not based on the roof leaking. It's not based on the flat tire. It's not based on what's wrong with the car. It's not based on what the children are doing, what they're saying, and what they're not doing. See, listen, it's not about that. The Lord is saying that I provided you the strength and the power so that you might have patience, and you're going to find yourself being able to go through the tests, go through the trials, and go through the temptation, and to run the course I have set you on, and you can able to do it and still have joy, still have peace, so that you can finish the course. Come on, church. Are we yet together? Church, the next move of God requires us to have patience. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require maturity and change. It's going to require patience. And so when we look at patience, we looked at, well, what is patience? Patience is abiding under the will of God. What that means is that we're going to endure the tests, the trials, the temptations. We're going to endure being uncomfortable. And we're going to endure the tests, the trials, the temptation, being uncomfortable without complaining and without compromising. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Jesus never moaned and complained about us while he was on the cross. Not only did he not complain, but he did not compromise. He didn't want to change how things had to be done. See, sometimes we can find ourselves in the test trials and temptations and in a place of being uncomfortable, and we want to compromise. See, rather than do what God says, we want to change what God said. I don't really have to come to church. See, we want to change it, but see, God says that we need to come so that we can exhort one another as we see the day approaching so that none of us sin. The Lord said that. But see, what happens is that we get in a position where we want to compromise and we want to change what God said. Lack patience. But when we abide under the will of God, what that means is that I'm going to get under the will of God and I'm going to stay here and I'm going to endure the test, trials, the temptations, the tribulations. I'm going to endure being uncomfortable without complaining and without compromising. And church, we have to know that when we're in that place, the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us, he's doing something. He's doing something. See, this is so important. Patience is so important. Because we can make a choice and a decision being impatient that can change the course of our lives. See, that's what happened with people that have sex without marriage. They didn't have patience. Change the course of their lives. change the course of their lives. And so when it's time to get married, see, they're not used to having patience. So rather than do the will of God, what happens is that they begin to compromise. They begin to change what God said. Oftentimes what happens is that even with a generation, even now, they want to change what God said. Lack patience. Lack commitment. Make choices and decisions. Change the course of their lives. Patience is that I'm going to go through without changing the will of God. But it's a process of maturing. Patience is essential to the process of maturing. See, here's the thing. All of us came out of our mother's womb as a babe. None of us came full grown. We had to grow. We had to mature. Is that not right? Physically and mentally. Well, see, it's the same way spiritually. We have to grow. We have to grow. It's a process of maturing. Because if we try to get things too early, we'll get things that we can't handle. See, we'll get things that we can't handle. We become fathers before time. We become mothers before time. And we have things that we can't handle. We take on debt that we can't handle because we made choices and decisions before time. We lack patience. See, we don't want to abide under the will of God. It's also the process that keeps us right with God. Let's go to Genesis 17. It's a process that keeps us right with God. Patience. Genesis 17, patience. We've all heard the term that patience is a virtue. Patience. And so if we're going to work with the Lord and do the works of Christ, we're going to have patience. Listen, because, you know, God doesn't always, you know, God's not, just because we're ready to move doesn't mean that God's ready. And oftentimes we move without God because he knows that we're not ready. And we move without him. Are we together, church? We let our feelings and our emotions and other people's opinions move us. But church, we're going to need patience because to do the works of Christ involves us working with people. Come on now. Listen, the Lord is not going to be able to use us if we're impatient with the people he wants to reach. And in our impatience with the people he wants to reach, we gave them the funny face. See, because we're mature beyond the point of saying something. So now we just make the face. Hey, that's progress. Come on now, give yourself, that's progress. You went from saying something to face. Are we together? But see, people see the face. See, they see our bodies before they see our hearts. And when we give them the face, whereby we're not willing to endure with them, the works of Christ can't be done. And church, we have to be able to endure with people because, see, they're not going to be cooperative with us in the beginning. They're going to fight us. They're going to scratch and claw. They're going to have a response. They're going to have an answer. They're going to have an attitude. You know, they're going to have a way. They're going to have all those things. But church, we're going to have to be patient. We can't give up on them. See, we have to endure. See, because we know that it's a process. And we know that people can't do any better than what they have been taught. And there are a number of people that they do what they do because they don't know, and they don't know because they have not been taught. That's why teaching is repeating until... See, that's why it hasn't been just one message. See, if one message would get us there, you wouldn't need this building. Come on now. If one message would get us there, we don't need a stream. We don't need a CD. We don't need a DVD. We don't even need the Bible. We just take one message and I'm good. No, teaching is repeating until learning takes place. And thanks be to God that he repeats so that we can get it, because we don't get it the first time. And so, therefore, church, we have to be patient if we're going to do the works of Christ. See, the Lord is patient with us. He's patient with the early church. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher and a reminder. Are we together, church? This is wonderful things. And so we looked at what patience is. Now let's look at the benefits. I know you all look tired of listening to what it is. Let's look at some benefits. Church, there's some benefits in being patient. Benefits. Genesis 17, are we there? Let's begin reading verse number 1. And it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he said, I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold my covenant with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Abram is 99 years old. And God is telling Abram, you're going to be a father of many nations. And he has no children at 99 years old. And he said, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations. I have done what? I have made thee. Do you think Abram was made for God's purpose? And he says, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, or thy children, after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to your children thereafter. Jump over to chapter 18, verse number 11. Now Abram and Sarah, they were old. They were old, and they were well stricken in age. They were up in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. You know what that means? People would think that Sarah was too old to have children. It would be impossible. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Abraham, my husband's old also. Now, here's the Lord talking about having children at 99. And the Lord said unto Abram, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Why did Sarah laugh? The Lord is asking us to do greater works. Jesus is saying, you shall do greater works than these that I did. Why you laugh? Why you laugh? See, you could be like Sarah and laugh in your heart. Pastor's a fool. But that's what the Lord said. And then he says in verse number 14, the Lord says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Come on now. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Preacher, you're telling me that I can be changed. Do you realize what I've been through? Do you realize what I've gone through? Do you realize from whence I've come? And you're telling me that I can be changed. And I'm saying to you is, why you laugh? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, he said, I will return unto thee according to that time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh. She told that to the Lord. I didn't laugh. See, you're here this morning, even now, and we're talking about doing greater works, and you're laughing in your heart, and the Lord sees your heart. And the Lord said, I didn't laugh. Because she was afraid. And he said, nay, you did laugh. You showed enough laugh. Verse chapter 21, verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Then he goes on to have him circumcised. And it says in verse number 5, and Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Church hears this. The benefits of patience. The benefits of patience is that the impossible becomes possible. For many of us, we keep moving around too much for the impossible to become possible. That's because we're looking for immediate gratification. And the Lord says, no, you're going to have to settle down. There's nothing too hard for me. I'm going to do what I said. If you work with me, if you say what I tell you to say, go where I tell you to go, do what I tell you to do, you shall do greater works. The impossible becomes possible. Is patience. Now, patience isn't necessarily based on length of time. Patience is based on position and righteousness. Are we here together? The impossible becomes possible. Then let it be, we're able to receive the promises of God. We're able to receive the promises of God. We're able to receive the promises of God. Church, do you realize between the time that the Lord spoke to Abraham and spoke to Sarah about having a child, that something had to happen between Abraham and Sarah during that time? And so, church, there has to be some obedience. We have to do, we got to be doing. See, Abraham and Sarah just wasn't sitting there looking at each other. Is today going to be the day? Something had to happen. See, patience is just not sitting doing nothing, waiting on God. And so we can't sit and wait on God for the greater works to be done, because he needs us and he wants to work through us. And so what that means is that we're going to have to be doing some things. And so for us to be doing some things, we have to abide under the will of God. So even when the storms of life come, we cannot stop and we cannot move and we cannot come out from under the will of God. He says, you keep working. Keep doing. Well, I share with somebody, they didn't say, don't worry about it, keep going. Well, you know, my roof is leaking and my car doing this and doing that. I think I'm going to have to stay home, and I think I'm going to have to pull back on some things. He said, come on now, stay under here. Stay under here. See, it's my word. I'm a God that shall not lie, and I'm not the son of man that will change my mind. See, I have given you a promise. I'm the promise giver, and I'm the promise keeper. Church, if we can be patient. I'm not talking about length of time. I'm talking about position. We can receive the promises of God. Then let us see, we'll fulfill God's purpose for our lives. We'll bear fruit. See, Abraham couldn't be the father of many nations without Isaac. Are we together, church? We're able to fulfill God's purpose for our life. We're able to bear fruit. Then letter D, we grow in strength. Abraham had to go through this to get to the point where he was willing to offer up Isaac. Church, we need patience to have strength. The strength of a tree is in the root system. The strength of the tree is in the root system, is in that which you cannot see. And a tree gets stronger. See, I discovered a tree gets stronger in certain conditions. The tree gets stronger when the roots has to dig deeper to find nourishment, to find water. Church, it's the same way with you and I. It's in staying and abiding in the will of God in the midst of the storms, the tests, the tribulations, and the trials, and the uncomfortability of life. That's when we have to dig deeper to get to the Lord. We get stronger. Then lastly, the benefits of patience, it keeps us from sinning. It keeps us from sinning. It gets us to the point where we are entire and wanting nothing. It's God's plan to make sure that we're who he created us to be, do what he's called us to do, and accomplish what he desires through us. But we need patience. We need patience. It's not time. It's position. 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 We have to abide under the will of God. And I'm not going to let anything or anyone pull me out of there. Because every time we come out from under there, we're damaging our root system. And we have to come back under and reestablish those roots. Stay in position. The impossible becomes possible. You can receive the promises of God. You're able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. You're able to produce fruit. You can find yourself in a position where you can stop sinning. Are we here together, church? Because we need strength to be able to resist the temptation. But the Lord says that, listen, you got to stay. Stay under the will. Stay under my will. Stay there. But Lord, do you know what's happening? Do you know what I'm going through? You know what's going on around me? Yeah, I know. Stay there. Stay under my will. Don't you move. Don't you move. What did I say? What did I say? What does my word say? Church, patience is also important for answered prayer. Sometimes we throw up a prayer and we don't get an immediate response and we automatically move out without any directions and instructions. The Lord says, now listen, I heard you. Wait. I heard you. I heard you clearly. Are we together, church? You know, there are members of this church. They had to be patient. And when the Lord responded, they couldn't even imagine what the Lord had done. They couldn't even imagine what the Lord had done. But they had to stay in his will. Stay in his will. They could have forced some things and got themselves in a situation that's not good for them, but they stayed. Are we together, church? The impossible becomes possible, especially to them that believe. Are we together, church? Doing the works of Christ. We can do greater works. Don't laugh in our hearts. Don't laugh. But be patient. Get under, stay under. Get right, stay right. Let the Lord use us. Amen. Church, my time is up, and I want to thank you for yours this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those that are listening via the CD, we want you to know that right now that God has a desire to save you, to change you, and to turn your life around. We want to encourage your heart right now for you to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to come into your heart, to not only to save, but also to change and to turn your life around. We love you. We're praying for you. Amen.